Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. About 200 people marched on Charlottesville's downtown mall Sunday in support of immigrants. Sandy Hausman was there and filed this report.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Members of various congregations rallied in Charlottesville on Palm Sunday to sing, pray, and protest the way this country has treated immigrants.
The government is treating our neighbors unfairly. They're not treating them as humans. They're not treating them with respect.
People being arrested for no good reason. People being deported. We should be welcoming.
Coming into the country when you're desperately fleeing your homeland should not be a crime.
I'm a historian. This looks like 1930s Germany to me. My grandparents immigrated, and fortunately, before the Holocaust.
Organizers asked those in the crowd to consider volunteering with a half dozen local groups formed to help migrants get food, financial assistance, and legal aid when relatives are arrested and detained by ICE. I'm Sandy Hausman.
You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Thousands gathered in Roanoke's Elmwood Park Saturday for one of the many No Kings rallies held across the state and U.S.
We are here in solidarity to stand up to fascism today, and it's so good. Look to your neighbor, look to the left, look to the right, look up and down. We are here today to say no more!
That crowd included elected officials, people in costume, and a lot of homemade signs. Roanoke County School Board member Ryan White was there.
Make sure that everybody knows that we are together, whether we're elected officials or just members of the community. What's important is that we are standing up and supporting our freedoms to vote and supporting our freedoms of speech.
The crowd also included Roanoke author and congressional candidate Beth Macy.
I've been to all these rallies since we started rallying outside of Ben Klein's office, gosh, about 59 weeks ago. And my candidacy for Congress really grew out of that effort. I'm here to say vote yes on the referendum coming up and just to talk to people.
Macy is referencing a ballot question as to whether Virginia should temporarily draw new U.S. House districts that experts say could give Democrats a 10-to-1 majority in its 11 congressional districts. The referendum is set for April 21st. Up in a little while, a conversation about how AI could affect jobs in Virginia. About a third of all positions in the state affected in some manner. The Monday conversation with Dwayne Yancey of Cardinal News and Fred Eccles will be up in a little bit. Governor Abigail Spanberger is considering legislation that would protect workers against heat stress. Michael Pope has this story.
We have an opportunity here to create the first ever heat stress protections for workers. So this is a big deal. So I'm going to move this conference committee report and ask the House to adopt it.
Shall the conference report be agreed to?
That was Delegate Phil Hernandez in a moment advocates have been hoping would happen for years, a bill that calls on the Safety and Health Codes Board to adopt regulations to guard against heat stress. When the bill passed, the House broke into a round of applause. Manuel Gago Silcox is director of the Workers' Justice Program at the Legal Aid Justice Center.
More and more people are going to the ER because they don't have the trainings, or the employees don't provide the protection, so like water, cold water, or place to rest. So these precautions that we want to be enforceable will be saving hundreds of people's lives.
The original version of the bill included a private right to action, allowing workers to sue if their employers violated the new rules on heat stress. That part was taken out to get the votes to pass the bill. Here's Charlotte Brody at the Blue-Green Alliance.
I would have preferred if the private action stayed, but in lieu of that, what we need to do is to create a strong rule and do a whole lot of education so people know that they're protected and what they can do to make sure those protections are in place.
If the governor signs the bill, the new rules on heat stress will go into place in 2028. Michael Pope.
Researchers at Virginia Tech have developed a new type of vaccine that uses nanoparticles to prevent drug overdoses. Mike Jung is a biological systems engineering professor at Virginia Tech and one of the authors of the study.
So if the people can get the vaccine, such as the fentanyl vaccine, this can really prevent a lot of accidental overdose.
Drug overdoses remain one of the most frequent causes of death in the U.S., and rates are especially high for younger people. Zhang says the vaccine they developed teaches the body to recognize opioids and block them from entering the brain. It uses biodegradable nanoparticles coated with. The vaccine was shown to be more effective than previously designed versions that don't use nanoparticles. The study was conducted on mice, and further research would need to be completed to study its effect in humans. This note of disclosure, Radio IQ is a service of Virginia Tech. Weapons law violations at Virginia colleges and universities have climbed sharply in recent years. Kune Faye of the Virginia Center for Investigative Journalism at WHRO has this story.
Virginia State Police data shows colleges reported 55 weapons violations last year, a nearly 40% increase from the low of 2020. ODU campus police handled roughly half of all aggravated assaults investigated by college law enforcement statewide last year. Campus safety advocates say some cases stem from visitors bringing weapons into university spaces, not from campus communities themselves, and campus environments are typically far safer than their surrounding communities. Former Governor Glenn Youngkin vetoed bills to restrict firearms on campuses despite the increase in incidents. A firearm restriction bill was approved by the General Assembly this year and awaits Governor Abigail Spanberger's decision. Kunle Falai, the Virginia Center for Investigative Journalism at WHRO.
It's officially spring. That means severe weather season for Virginia and much of the United States. Forecasters at the Storm Prediction Center have a new tool in their arsenal to help folks be better prepared. Radio IQ meteorologist Nick Gilmore has details.
The Storm Prediction Center, or SPC, is an arm of the National Weather Service. Its sole purpose is to analyze conditions across the nation to pinpoint where severe weather, including tornadoes, large hail, and damaging wind gusts, might happen. Officials there produce outlooks every day on where conditions are ripe and what level of risk there is. That outlook system recently got an upgrade, according to Evan Bentley, the warning coordination meteorologist at the Storm Prediction Center.
In the past, we could only talk about intensity and whether or not we had the chance for greater than EF2 plus tornadoes, as well as hurricane force wind gusts or 2 plus inch hail. And we had to have a certain coverage of that significant severe weather to include it.
The SPC has now added a new intensity metric to their outlooks, a 4-point scale aligning with what meteorologists there think the threat might be on any given day.
So we can say more information about the potential for strong, intense, and even violent tornadoes or wind gusts, maybe even up to 100 miles per hour, or hail that might be much larger than 2 inch, even the size of softballs.
Bentley uses these examples to explain the usefulness of this new tool. A particular day might only have a storm or two, but they have the potential to produce hurricane-force winds. Another day might have more widespread storms, but with 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, both needing different preparedness strategies. The hope is that the more nuanced intensity information will help folks be ready. I'm Nick Gilmore.
You'll find more information about the new outlooks at the Common WEX section of our website, radioiq.org. According to a new report, about a third of all jobs in Virginia will be affected in some way by artificial intelligence. That includes jobs in a wide range of skill levels and locations. Dwayne Yancey with Cardinal News has studied the report, and he talked about it with Fred Eccles.
Dwayne, in selecting a point of reference for this, you quite naturally went back 660,000 centuries to an asteroid that informs us yet today. How does it do that?
Well, you know, one spring day, 66 million years ago, some dinosaurs were, you know, doing whatever dinosaurs do, eating plants, eating each other. And, you know, they look up in the sky and, you know, there's this bright light streaking across the sky and, you know, oh, that's interesting. And then they go back to what they were doing. Boom, no more dinosaurs. AI feels sort of the same way. We don't really know what to make of it. Yeah, you know, we look up, we see it. It's bright, it's shiny, but we don't, you know, have a full appreciation of what it's going to do. But yeah, you know, according to all of these studies, particularly this one from the Virginia Chamber Foundation, it's going to have a profound impact on the workplace and the types of jobs.
And on many different types of jobs, according to this study, many jobs that require a high level of skill and many jobs that don't.
It hits sort of anything that can be computerized. I'm using that term very, very loosely. When I'm replaced by AI, it will probably be more precise than that. But it hits, you know, software developers, because AI can basically create its own software, I suppose. Cashiers. Nowadays, you go to a fast food restaurant, there's not someone there behind the counter to take your order. There's a screen. Order it yourself. That hits both ends of the skill spectrum and income spectrum.
And then there's geography. The study says about 35% of jobs in Virginia could be affected, but they're not evenly distributed across the state.
It will hit hardest in Northern Virginia. A lot of government, technology-related jobs there. This report says that in Northern Virginia, 39% of the jobs will have some sort of AI exposure. Now, that doesn't mean they will all go away, but they will all be shaped by AI in some place. The region at the low end is in Southside, where the figure is 29.1%, which, yeah, it's still pretty high. That's more than, you know, one in four.
So there are clearly reasons to be concerned for people who are in jobs that could be affected. Now, there are also lots of people who are not in those jobs but would like to be. What about young people who are deciding right now about their careers and what they ought to study? What are they to make of this?
Yes, this report is not very encouraging for young people because it says that many of the jobs that will be affected most are entry-level jobs, which, you know, raises the question of how people are going to enter the workforce if those entry-level jobs go away. Those in more mid-career or, you know, those further along in their work life probably are not going to be hit as hard as those at the beginning. Now, that raises the question, well, what should people be studying? And I'm not sure there's a good answer for that, because in some of these cases, you know, we will still need people in those fields, but it will be harder to enter them. How you get to the mid-career point if you can't be at the early career point?
Duane Yancey is with CardinalNews.org. The report he talked about was published by the Virginia Chamber Foundation. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit online independent news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. In the forecast, we're warming up with a few showers possible on the way. Pretty cloudy today, some rain possible, fairly breezy, and highs in the upper 60s and low 70s. Some clearing tonight, a little breezy. Lows drop to the low 50s to around 58 for Fredericksburg and Richmond. Sunny starting out tomorrow, then more clouds filtering in and some showers possible later in the day. Fairly breezy, warmer, highs in the low 70s to low 80s throughout the region. Better chance Wednesday for showers and storms, especially by the afternoon and evening. Pretty breezy, highs in the mid-70s to 86 for Fredericksburg. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.